Alternative Radio.
Because it's Sports Talk with Cooper and Big Man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for Sports Talk with Cooper and Big Man. This is Big Man, and of course, joining me, as always, is my brother Cooper. Cooper, how are we doing, brother?
Doing good, brother. You ready for this?
Sort of.
Yeah, I know. It hasn't been that great of a week, has it?
Not football-wise.
Let's get into it.
Sure. We'll start with the top 25 in college football. Number one, Georgia won over Georgia Tech, 37-14. By the way, this is, or was, rivalry week, so a lot of these will be rivalry games. Number two, Ohio State lost 45-23 to rival number three, Michigan. Oh, yeah, down by 22 at home. Suck it, Buckeyes. Sorry.
You really can't stand them Buckeyes, can you?
No, we're going to talk about that later. Number four, TCU demolished Iowa State 62-14. I don't really think that's a rivalry game, but it was a beatdown nonetheless. Number five, LSU lost to Texas A&M 38-23. Again, not really a rivalry game. But we do have a rivalry game next as number six, USC beat number 15, Notre Dame 38-27. Number seven, Alabama beat in-state rival Auburn 49-27. Number eight, Clemson lost to in-state rival South Carolina 31-30. Number nine, Oregon lost to in-state rival number 21, Oregon State 38-34. We're going to avoid that one. Number 10, Tennessee bounced back nicely to destroy Vanderbilt 56-0. That is an in-state rivalry. Hasn't been much of a rivalry for a while. Football-wise, anyways. Basketball and baseball-wise, yes. Great rivalry. Football-wise, Vandy, sorry, guys. You just don't bring nobody to the table in football. Anyways, number 11, Penn State handled Michigan State 35-16. Number 12, Kansas State beat in-state rival Kansas 37-27. Number 13, Washington won the Apple Cup over rival and in-state rival Washington State, 51-33. Just killed me there, didn't you, Washington? Just had to stick it to me some way. Had to beat us earlier in the year and then just screw us again. Number 14, Utah annihilated Colorado, 63-21. Number 16, Florida State beat in-state rival Florida, 45-38. Number 17, North Carolina lost to rival North Carolina State, 30-27 in double overtime. Number 18, UCLA beat California 35-28. Number 19, Tulane beat number 24, Cincinnati 27-24. Number 20, Ole Miss lost to in-state rival Mississippi State 24-22. Number 23, Texas beat Baylor 38-27. And finally, number 25, Louisville lost to in-state rival Kentucky 26-13. Cooper, what stands out to you from the weekend of Rivalry Week? And you say the Civil War, I'm going to smack the crap out of you. I'm going to smack the crap out of you. You want to be smacked, don't you?
Well, you know.
You just want me to reach over there and smack the piss right out of you, don't you?
It sucks, dude. But yeah, I'm thinking about it because it's like, the fuck, dude? How do the Ducks lose to the Beavers?
Blow a 21-point lead. Oh, I can tell you, but we'll be here all night. You want to be here all night?
Refs.
It's conspiracy. It's my conspiracy.
Let's hear it.
Oh, my God. I don't have time for this.
Yes, you do. Let's do this.
All right. So, my thought, and it's been about 2 decades long, because Oregon has been a mediocre at best football program nationally since its inception in the early, or actually, sorry, late 19, sorry, late 1800s, 1890s. So we've been mediocre. We barely even made it to our prestige conference bowl game, the Rose Bowl, a handful of times. We really haven't gone that often. But USC has been a lot.
Yeah.
UCLA has been a lot. Their football programs, they're part of the blue blood groups, technically. UCLA, not as much as SC. But SC is considered a blue blood. Of course, you have almost every good Southern team. Auburn, LSU, Alabama, Florida is now considered a late arrival to the blue bloods because they didn't really get there until Spurrier became the head coach and got them over the hump finally.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Urban Meyer picked it up from the mid-2000s and helped them get over again with Tebow and stuff. But I'm just, that's, I digress. So we're not a blue blood. We are a team that goes against the grain of the blue bloods. So the NCAA doesn't like us at all.
I don't know why they don't like us, dude. I mean,
because we're not a good old boy team.
Well, that's true. I mean, but at the same time, it's like, it's so cool all the things the Ducks do. Like, if you've ever been to Autzen Stadium, the life in that stadium is so much different. And we've just recently went to the Swamp.
Mm-hmm.
The Swamp was good.
Mm-hmm.
It don't beat Oregon.
We also went when it was still pretty good. Yeah. Florida's not there yet. They're in the middle of a program rebuild. I'm sure the Swamp is probably rocking when they're national contenders.
True. I bet you it is too, because they do have a lot of loyal fans there, which is cool. And then the whole one thing I will say is everyone was very courteous and nice to us.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
And I think the only thing that doesn't help, and I'm not trying to disrespect Missouri, but Missouri is not really a major football program either.
Right.
If we were playing a top-tier SEC team, obviously not Georgia because they go play in Jacksonville. They go play them in Jacksonville all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, if we could have seen them play Bama, if we could see them play LSU, something like that, we would probably get a raucous Swamped crowd.
You are right, dude.
Packed crowd. We're basically, because the Pac-12, almost everybody's considered your rival in the Pac-12.
Yeah, right.
Because we cannibalize each other all the time. That's why we haven't been in the playoff since 2016 when Washington made it and got roasted. So I'm just saying. So it was funny. To me, it was a little funny. Washington thinks they're all big and bad and go get their asses handed to them. But anyway, so I digress.
They're a little pale.
So it all started in 2001 when we finally became a national team. We lost only one game, but we couldn't get the computers to like us. And instead, they sent Nebraska to face Miami. I'm not saying we would have beat Miami, because Miami was going to win that national title, probably no matter what.
Yeah.
I think we would have made it a better game, because we also had a Heisman contender in Joey Harrington, who could throw the ball, where the Heisman winner, who was on Nebraska's team that went to face Miami, was just a running quarterback. So they basically just ran the option. I can't guarantee you that we would have won the game. I just think we would have made it a better game.
A decent game, yeah.
And we didn't get to go. Because we lost to Stanford. And ironically, a lot of our issues is with Stanford, too, which really pisses me off.
Yeah.
We've had questionable calls against Stanford in the Harbaugh years and the early David Shaw years, which we'll talk about him in a little bit, too. And so we've had to deal with that. We've had bad calls or no calls go against us in the Stanford games. The national title game we went to when we finally made it to the national championship in 2011. The refs ignored major blatant conduct. What's the penalty called? It's not conduct dismissal. Whatever. It basically. A lot of the Auburn players, especially their one good defensive lineman, Fairley, kept stomping on LaMichael James almost every chance he got when he tackled him. And a few times, those missed penalties didn't keep our drive alive, which probably we could have scored again. But we didn't, because guess what? They didn't bother calling the penalties of him stomping our damn running back.
Yeah.
And they didn't call it. That, and also, I don't think Cam Newton should have been playing in that game, because we all know that his dad took money for him to go to Auburn.
Exactly.
So, that was kind of crap.
Didn't he have problems before when he was with Florida, too?
Yeah, he stole laptops and stuff like that, I believe. And then he left the program.
I've never been a Cam Newton fan. In fact, I really hated it when he went to the Panthers. And they made him out to be like this, the next big thing. And trust me, at the time, when he went there, I was a big Panther fan there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But when he went there, I cut all ties because they're like, nope.
Yep, we're done with that. So we got that one. We've had bad calls, like I said, against Stanford. That's cost us a couple chances before that year that we went to the national title. Well, not that year, but when we went to the national title in 2014, we kind of got screwed in the Stanford game. We still made the playoff. And I guarantee you what happened was is the NCAA kind of laid low on the Florida State game because they figured, well, the defending national champion Florida State Seminoles are going to probably crush the Ducks. Little did they know, we are more talented than they thought because we also had the Heisman Trophy winner that year, Marcus Mariota, and our defense was stout and made Jameis Winston look like a little you-know-what.
And he still looks like a little you-know-what.
Yeah, well, he does, but I'm just saying, he made him they made him really bad.
They roasted him, man. They roasted him.
And Dalvin Cook was had butter for hands out of nowhere, too, because he couldn't hold on to the ball with crap either. He fumbled a few times that helped us out. And we blew out Florida State. Then the refs are like, well, then the NCAA, I think, puts their hand on the Ohio State championship game. Which, by the way, if you go back that year, I don't think Ohio State should have been in the playoff to begin with. That's just me, though. You can go back and look at that yourself and kind of determine whether or not you think they should have been. I don't think they should have. They had a really bad loss against Virginia Tech. But somehow they still made it, which didn't make sense because Virginia Tech wasn't even that good that year. So it's like, I don't know how you got in because they weren't even good.
Right, the favoritism of programs. The SEC and programs like that.
Ohio State, because Ohio State, again, is a blue blood. Michigan, a blue blood. You know, a good old boy team, basically. Yeah. And so, I get it. Ezekiel was a beast. But he had wide open holes because Ohio State's offensive line was getting away with holding all game long. And then I also didn't like when Joey Bosa hit Marcus Mariota late on a pass. So late that after Marcus had thrown the ball, took about 2.5 steps, and then Bosa hit him, and they didn't call roughing the passer on that. And Marcus ended up hurting his shoulder, and I think that kind of probably almost cost him a little bit on his development as an NFL quarterback because his shoulder was messed up going into that rookie year because he got hit like that and they didn't call shit. So I'm just saying. And every time we get close to being back towards getting better, we have Stanford usually or Utah last year. The first game against Utah. The second game, Cristobal in the Pac-12 championship game was out the door already going to Miami. He didn't care.
And the thing I can't stand too is for some reason we can't keep coaches. Mm-hmm. Like they always leave, dude. Mm-hmm. Like the only one, like you said, that I agree with that was okay with, we were okay with leaving was Chip Kelly.
Because, yeah, he was taking his talent, he was taking his offense and trying to see if he can make it work in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to blame you. And plus, he had been there for years. He was an offensive coordinator, I think, for about almost 5 years before he took over the head coaching job from Mike Bellotti when Mike Bellotti stepped down.
Yeah.
And then he was there for 4 more years. So he was almost there for a whole decade with us before he left and went, well, let me try the NFL. Because you can't have that kind of regret. Right. You got to say, I got to try.
And if he comes back to the NCAA... it didn't matter where he went because, you know, he already went to the NFL. So it's like, we respect you, man.
Yeah. Though, I mean, I kind of wish you were back to our being our coach.
Pretty much.
Or at least our can you come be our offensive coordinator?
Something, right?
Our offensive coordinator left. So, and then then this year, I didn't like, I knew we weren't going to beat Georgia. We weren't ready for that game. I don't even know why we weren't ready for that game, but I knew we weren't going to beat Georgia anyways. They were coming off a national championship, and they were going to make sure they look good still. We had a couple close games that were iffy. We had that roughing crew against Stanford that I didn't like, and he almost called some things that were like, I don't know about that. That was sketchy. And then this game against the Civil War, because we were almost back in complete playoff contention, even though it was the Washington game he was back and he screwed us. And besides our injury, too, the end was the coach's fault, but the game itself was the referees. Overall game, referees. The ending, coaches. Don't get me started on the coaches.
Yeah, right.
But then we almost crawled back into playoff contention. Because all we needed to do, beat the Beavers, which again would have been a top 25 win. After we beat Utah the previous week, which was a top 25 win, beat the Beavers with another top 25 win. Then we go play SC in the Pac-12 championship game. If we win that game, that's another that's a top 10 victory that we would have.
Right.
And then we have, look, I mean, we talk about this. Ohio State lost, wouldn't be conference champion. We should be ahead of them. TCU ended up winning, but if somehow Kansas State would have beat them this weekend and they fell out, they wouldn't be conference champion. We would be conference champion. Like I said, we could have beat, if we would have beaten SC this weekend, this coming weekend, you know, that would have helped. I mean, it was, and LSU lost. So yeah. Everybody in front of us was basically giving us an opportunity. The only thing we would have had to do is beat SC ourselves and hope that Kansas State would have pulled the upset on TCU. Yeah. And we should have been able to then, because to me, I don't care what Alabama history is, they're not conference champions, they shouldn't have got to go. And then Ohio State wasn't a conference champion. I don't think you can take a one loss over a two loss Pac-12. That's a conference champion. But, you know, whatever.
Yep, they like to favorite.
Because there's no way you can tell me that you're down 21 points and you can run the ball that much and come back and win. That's not possible.
Yeah, nobody does that. And that's, they're not, you know, calling the holding calls and just getting away with stupid shit.
Yeah.
And it's bullshit anymore.
It is, so.
But I'm glad we went on this little
rabbit hole
because, you know,
my rabbit hole that
I know you've been wanting to say it, but,
well, I was gonna save it for the off season, honestly, but
you know, let's get it out there, dude. It's bullshit the way they're treating Oregon. It's bullshit the way these coaches constantly leave.
Yeah,
I mean, we can't catch any ground if we can't build,
right?
They're always moving, and now they got this portal thing,
yeah, the
where players form. Can just go wherever they feel like, and it's like,
yeah, one of our good receivers has already entered the portal, and he's probably going to end up at Arizona State following Kenny Dillingham over there, and it's just going to be like, dude, can we not see this many people enter the transfer portal? I mean, luckily, so far, we've kept our quarterback that's coming, Dante Moore, who's almost, he's like the top three quarterback in the nation. So it's like, we might get lucky and have him still. And I'm like, oh God, I hope he wins out as a freshman because we've seen Ty Thompson, and Ty Thompson cannot read a run option to save his fucking life.
Yeah.
That's what killed us on that fourth down, because he handed the ball off and Washington was all over it, where if he would have kept it himself, he could have ran for the first down on that fourth down against Washington. But he misread the read option. I'm just like, dude, you can't read a read option. How can we trust you next year? Because we're going to have to rely on somebody. I'm hoping it's either going to be Dante Moore when he comes or Jay Butterfield next year.
Right.
Give me one of those. I can't trust Ty Thompson.
My dad's been clamoring for Butterfield. So if Butterfield gets a chance, my dad will be happy.
Yeah, because... And I'm going to leave it at that because I'm not going to talk about any other quarterback that's a local that just got in trouble. Because it's bad what he got in trouble for. Anyways. So, any other game besides that since you made me go down the rabbit hole?
Well, Florida State. I mean, I know we're being homers here, but let's be honest, dude. Like, now Florida State, and it's funny how Florida State hasn't been relevant for how many years, and now all of a sudden, like, oh, we beat Florida. Well, guess what? Florida hasn't been the same team they were for a while either. Yeah. So you can run your mouth all you want, but I still think Florida is a better team.
Yeah.
To be honest.
It's really weird to have you 23 years later be a Gator fan over a Seminole family because you were a Seminole man.
After
when I met you.
Yeah, because, I mean, You know, Bobby Bowden, man. I mean, come on. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Back in the day, he was the guy.
Plus Winky,
and Chris Winky. I mean, that dude was crazy.
Yeah, he was good.
Crazy good.
I think when Florida's golden boy came in, that's when you really flipped back over to the Gators.
Tim Tebow.
Timmy Tebow.
Yes, I love Tebow.
How can you not love Tebow?
He's just one of those guys, like, dude, like, I could see myself just chilling with you.
Right?
Yeah. You know? He's a cool guy.
He is. I was a little surprised North Carolina lost. That's a hard game to lose in a double overtime in a rivalry game right before the ACC title game that they're in. That's not good for them. And Clemson lost. That was a hard pill to swallow, I think, for Clemson.
Yeah, Clemson hasn't been the same for a while, man. It really sucks because they were a good program there for a bit.
Right. So. I have a hard time because, like, DJ Uiagalelei was a highly touted recruit, and they've had to pull him late in games to freaking spark their offense.
Right.
And they did it. They had to do it last year, too, and they're doing it this year. It's like, what is going on? You know, it's different with, like, you know, like with Florida last year when Anthony Richardson was coming in for the other kid to spark the offense. Because then Anthony Richardson eventually took over and then kept the job and then was the full-time starter this year. We didn't pull him. Granted, there's times I wish they did because Richardson would drive you insane.
Yeah, he's either on or he's way off.
Yeah. There's not a happy medium with Richardson, and that's why I said, please come back next year. I don't care what anybody says. You got NIL. It's not like you have to worry about money now as a college NFL player,
right?
College football player or basketball player, so on and so forth. You don't have to worry about money now. You can get an NIL deal and you'll get good money to take care of yourself and your family while you're in college. Just because you can make more in the NFL doesn't mean you necessarily want to go now and then flame out in 4 years.
Right.
Get better now. Go into the NFL and continue to grow there and possibly have a 10, 12, maybe 15-year career.
And let's be honest right now. I mean, how many freaking teams in the NFL really have that great of a quarterback?
Who has a coach that can handle having a quarterback, period? Because there are some coaches that shouldn't be head coaches. Yeah. We're seeing it. Granted, I know, I made fun of Minnesota. But we're seeing a whole better offense out of Minnesota with an offensive-minded coach to help Kirk Cousins than the defensive-minded coach who wanted him to hand off the ball, maybe throw on occasion. We're seeing a better record. We're seeing a better Kirk Cousins. He actually showed up on primetime this last week. You know,
shocked you.
Shocked the hell out of me. But it's the mindset. You got to have a proper mindset. We've seen it, too. Just if you want to not even use Kirk Cousins. How about Goff? Now, granted, Goff's been playing pretty well. Dan Campbell's kind of stayed out of his way, I think, too. That's helped. Because he's letting his offensive coordinator pretty much, hey, man, you got this. Take care of business with him. So, and it's starting to show. They've been one of the best scoring offenses in the league. Their defense has been suspect. And why they've lost as many games as they have. But look, Jeff Fisher, defensive-minded coach, ground-and-pound type of quarterback.
Yeah.
Goff went 0-7 his rookie year. Enter Sean McVay, offensive-minded quarterback. Not quarterback. He was a quarterback in college, but I'm just saying. Offensive-minded, quarterback-friendly coach. Throw the ball around. Still uses, you know, used Todd Gurley, I think, better, even though Gurley was already kind of getting worn down, I think, before McVay got there, which kind of sucked. Yeah. I think if Gurley had McVay his whole time in his career, instead of having to deal with ground and pound Fisher first, I think he'd probably still be playing, honestly, myself, but that's just me. Then you would see Goff got better. I mean, come on. And it's unfortunate because this may be the highlight of his career. Goff went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes on Monday Night Football. And put up 54 points. Well, I know the defense helped out with a couple scores themselves. But I'm just saying, he went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
And didn't blink. That's impressive. I don't care who you are as a quarterback. And the only thing I could say is, well, if it was Josh Allen, not really surprising. Tom Brady, we wouldn't have been surprised. But Jared Goff, I think, shocked the crap out of everybody.
Yeah, definitely, man.
It's all about your coach. And there's coaches out there. So we There's two examples. It's got to be the coach. So it ends up where you end up going. Because we're seeing it with the Jets right now. They benched their number two overall pick quarterback for a backup, and the team seems to be okay with it too.
Yeah, Mike White.
And we'll talk about that later. But I'm just saying, it's like, but is it all on Zach Wilson, or is it somewhat of the coaching staff?
Right.
Because you have a defensive-minded coach. Why haven't the Patriots been doing very well offensively? Because you have a defensive-minded coach. Granted, Josh McDaniels helped that. And you see it in the offense. Their offense has been lackluster because McDaniels left to take over in Vegas. So you're seeing it. You've got to be offensive-minded or have somebody who is offensive-minded under you that can push your quarterback to be better. So.
Definitely agree, dude.
So, Anthony Richardson.
Stay.
Stay, because Billy Napier will make you better because he is an offensive-minded coach. And he will help you be better. You might end up possibly being a first or second or at least a top five pick. Not in next year's draft, but the year after that draft, because it's next year. The 2024 draft pick, you might be a top five guy by then. But that's just me.
But we'll see what happens.
Yes. So let's move on.
Let's do this.
So there have been five official coaching hires in college football. Nebraska hired Matt Rhule, offensive-minded coach. Imagine that. Arizona hired our offensive coordinator. Arizona State hired our offensive coordinator, Kenning Dillingham. Oh, look at that. Another offensive-minded coach. Luke Fickell, he's one of those coaches who delegates really well. And so he's going to get an opportunity with a big boy school and see how that goes. Let's see here. Hugh Freeze is known for having good offenses. Off the field issues is a little bit different. And then former NFL quarterback and Super Bowl winner Trent Dilfer hired by University Alabama Birmingham.
Ooh, that's interesting.
And he has rebuilt the Linsen Academy program. I know this because I watch The Herd, and he's a frequent guest during football season on The Herd. And he's been their head coach, and they went undefeated this year. And today, they were in the Tennessee state championship for their level.
Right on, dude.
So you guys make sure to check that out and see how they did, because it will be his last game with Linsen Academy, as he will become an official Blazer. Yeah, it's UAB Blazers. I thought about it for a second. I'm like, they're Dragon logo, but I don't think they're called the Dragons. I'm like, Blazers. That's right. They call themselves the Blazers. But again, offensive-minded guy, because he was a former NFL quarterback. So he's going to be offensive-minded. He'll make sure he gets the right guys. Granted, it's UAB. We're not going to expect a whole lot, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Definitely is, man.
All right. Any thoughts on any of the coaching hires?
No, man. You covered it, brother.
Like we said, you get an offensive guy.
Offensive-minded.
You got to kind of go. That's where football is going, basically. Let's see. There are reports, too, that Colorado has offered their opening to Deion Sanders, who admitted the report being true, but has his focus set on the conference championship game for the SWAC conference championship this Saturday against Southern. And in a bit of shocking news, Stanford head coach David Shaw resigned after their season came to a close.
Very interesting, dude. It's gonna be interesting to see what Deion does. I like the fact of him being a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'll keep going with this. Maybe eventually we'll see him move up to the NFL.
He's admitted he doesn't think he can handle dealing with NFL guys because he thinks it's all too egotistical. Granted, from one of the most egomantistical NFL players of all time.
He doesn't seem like it now, but he was.
Right. So I kind of see his point, though. If you don't think you can handle guys who are making money, at that level of money, obviously, we're talking that level of money, maybe college is better for him.
I guess that's true. I mean, fine example is Urban Meyer. You know, you can't handle being around people that make money, then
basically, if you start messing with people who have a mortgage, family, car note, all that fun stuff, you better be more respectful. And obviously, some people can't. So, this is where I'm okay with Deion going somewhere and building another program too. If he does, I'm saying, because he seems really happy at Jackson State, which is an HBCU school, which is historically black college or university. That's what that stands for. And he wanted to help build up the HBCU level schools and make them, respectable, give you another option other than, you don't have to go to...
Other than a big school.
Yeah, you don't have to go to the SEC. You don't have to go to the Big Ten. You can, technically, in the sense, you can stay closer to home because, a lot of these HBC teams are by where these kids grew up.
Yeah.
So it's respectable that way. But he could delegate, like I said, he can be like Luke Fickell, he can be a delegator. He can be like, you're in charge of offense, you take care of that. You're in charge of defense, you take care of that. I'm just gonna be head coach. I'm gonna kinda, he's like a helicopter parent. I'll be in over here for a little bit, I'm gonna be over here for a little bit watching you, final decisions usually are gonna have to go through me. I'll make sure everything's kosher, and we're good to go. So that's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to
it. Definitely going to be interesting.
I just don't know if he can do much at Colorado. Colorado's going to be hard. That's going to be hard to build Colorado. Colorado hasn't been much of anything since the late 90s, early 2000s. When we smoked them in the Fiesta Bowl the year we should have been in the national title game. By the way, Colorado beat Nebraska that year. Kicked their ass.
Well, there
and
you go.
Nebraska went to the national title, and then we beat them 38-7 in the Fiesta Bowl. Just saying. I'm not saying we would have beat Miami. Just saying.
Conspiracies.
Just saying. We would have at least made it a better game, especially since we beat the team that beat the crap out of Nebraska. Just saying. Anyway, so one more college note. This is my favorite one. I'm about to rip it.
Here we go.
Rip into Boise State, the Buckeyes of Ohio State. Is Ohio State becoming the Dallas Cowboys of college football? Every year we have to hear that this should be the year Ohio State is ready to challenge the SEC for the national title. Yet they have not won it and potentially becomes 8 years if they fail to reach the playoff this year. That will be back-to-back years without a playoff appearance if Michigan, TCU, SC win their conference championships. Georgia should handle LSU. But it will be another year that Ohio State failed to live up to expectations, just like those Cowboys.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's kind of funny you say that because Zeke being from...
Ohio State. And he's a Cowboy now?
Yeah it's kind of ironic. But, dude, they're overrated. I don't care for them much. And they always hype them up.
Always.
Right? It's like... What the hell?
All we hear about is how great they are. Oh, they're just dominating teams. They have the most 10 double-digit wins of any other team in the nation. I'm like, yeah, did you watch the whole game? Did you see how much they struggled? Look at what they did against Penn State. If it wasn't for the fact that Penn State's offense was pretty much in shambles by the end of that game, that could be Penn State's victory, not Ohio State's victory. But yeah, here we are. They got, luckily, and JT Tuimoloau freaking went off in that game. They were lucky he went off. If he doesn't go off, Penn State might have actually pulled out enough points to get that victory because he stopped a lot of Penn State's early drives and late drives by himself. So they're thankful for JT Tuimoloau. If it's not for him, Penn State would have had that one. I'm just saying. So I'm just sick of it, man. I'm tired of hearing it. Just like every year with the Cowboys. This is the year. Freaking Skip Bayless. Every year. Every damn year, dude. Tired of it. 26 years. And you haven't even been to the conference championship since you were last in the Super Bowl. You haven't gone past the division round. You flame out in the wild card or the division round itself because you had a bye week that year. I'm tired of hearing it. I'm done.
Right.
Get to the conference championship. First, Cowboys, then we'll talk.
It's like they talk so much about Dak Prescott.
Ohio State.
And even, Dak Prescott, when they talk so much about him with the Cowboys, mm-hmm. It's like, he's a good quarterback when he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
But when is he ever healthy?
Healthy enough? Yeah, exactly. When is he ever healthy enough for a whole season? I mean, granted, they got lucky. Cooper Rush kept him afloat. But
I was going to say, Rush did all right.
Kept him afloat. Everybody thought the season was over for the Cowboys when Dak was injured after week one. But, I mean, come on. You lost to Tampa Bay. I don't see you beating Tampa Bay if you face them in the playoffs. I don't see you beating the Eagles. I honestly, if you have to go to Minnesota, I think Minnesota gets you back.
Yeah.
I have a hard time. And don't even get me started on the 49ers, who are beating the crap out of everybody or winning ugly 13-0. I'm not buying it. There are three teams that I would buy over you, and possibly four if I can think of another one. I did think of Buccaneers. I blanked on the Buccaneers again. Buccaneers. Because you know what? Tom Brady will cheat somehow, or the referees will do it for him. We all know how that is. Just saying.
I hope this is his last year.
God, I hope so too. I'm sick and tired of his ass.
I'm tired of hearing about it constantly.
Yeah.
We hear more about his drama than we do his on-field.
Right.
And the way he acts on-field, he just looks like he's just unhappy. He's a dick on the sidelines.
That's true. But I gotta say this, though. Whether you like Tom Brady or not, which I know, we know, well, no, I don't. Isn't it still kind of a bitch move by Giselle to make it known publicly that they were going through that divorce? In the season, though?
I guess, but you know how women are. I mean, it's...
I mean, just let him finish out the year and then fucking divorce his ass. Or should have done it when he announced he was going to be in the Super Bowl.
Did they ever pick a right time or a good time to do it?
You're true about that. That's true.
They always pick the...
I don't know. They pick the worst fucking time always.
The worst time to do it.
I'm just saying. Don't be a bitch.
Is this you kind of in a way sticking up for Tom Brady?
Oh, yeah, it is a little bit. It's a little scary. But,
I mean, yeah, it's...
But as a man who's gone through divorce, I kind of feel for him. Because it's like, that's a bitch move. Let him, either you should have said, we're done when he announced he was coming back. And just said, we're done now. We're going through the divorce before the season starts. Or, suck it up, Buttercup, and wait until his season is done, and then divorce his ass. But whatever.
I just think... divorce.
Some women. Some of y'all are just bitches. Just saying.
I think that, you know, yeah.
This has gone on longer than we are.
Divorce thing is a little bit sticky, brother. And
it affected his play a lot there.
It definitely did.
He's bouncing back. He's bouncing back now that it's passed and it's been some time. He's actually bouncing back a little bit. So he's starting to look again like the Tom Brady of even last year. But that stretch where it was announced that they were about to settle for their divorce, when it became official of their divorce, and then a couple weeks after that divorce, he looked like her. I know, he beat my team. We didn't do anything to keep that game won because we should have. My team was fucking killing me. We should have won that game. But anyways, I know he won that game. And we were undefeated with him as a Buccaneer before that. I was so happy. We were beating the crap out of him.
Yeah.
With his super team that he had.
Yeah.
And then we lost. Anyways.
But, you know, yeah, it's crappy, dude.
But to me, it's just the principle of the thing. Don't be a bitch. Anyways, let's talk about some NFL.
Let's do it.
Besides Tom Brady and the Cowboys.
How did we get here?
I went on some weird rant. So, starting with Thanksgiving games. Oh, crap, I had to talk about the Buccaneers. All right. Anyways, the Bills beat the Lions on Thanksgiving 28-25 in a surprisingly close game. The Cowboys beat the Giants 28-20 in a game that really wasn't as close as the score indicates. And the Vikings beat the Patriots in primetime 33-26. That's the shocker, because Kirk Cousins actually played well in primetime.
He finally did it.
And it wasn't against the Bears.
You kept talking about enough crap. He finally did it, bro.
Yeah, I know. It's too bad we don't have any listeners in Minnesota. I could have thought, hey, he heard me. If I had a Minnesota listen to on that one, I'd be like, he heard me. I knew he would. Lousy little. And what's sad is I actually like Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
It's just primetime Kirk Cousins I can't stand. Except for this time. And it was the Patriots. And that just puts an extra bit of pep in my step for me.
Right.
Let's see here. The Browns beat the Buccaneers 23-16 in overtime. Look, I stood up for you, now I'm going to tear you down.
Here we go.
Well, including playoffs, Tom Brady was, I think, what did I say, like 143-0 when leading by 7 with 2 minutes left to go in the game?
Yeah.
And that was his first loss, and it was to the Browns. In overtime.
Yeah.
That's just hilarious to me. I'm sorry, but that's just fucking funny. That's what makes it so fucking funny. It was the Browns. Their last game with Jacoby Brissett as their quarterback. And they lost.
Yeah, pretty crazy, brother. Pretty crazy.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. But seriously, I feel you, bro, about the divorce thing. I feel you.
Shit. I don't know how we do this. But this is fun shit.
Alright, the Dolphins ended up cruising to a 30-15 win over the Texans. The Jaguars stunned the Ravens 28-27. Well, by the way, hadn't won a game by trailing by more than seven or more. So trailing by seven or more late in a game, the Jaguars had never won a game, and they broke that losing streak. Snapped that losing streak.
The fact that they beat Baltimore, dude, that's pretty big, dude. And I hope this you know, gets their season rolling, and maybe we'll see them maybe make the wild card. Maybe if they can.
That's an ugly wild card team,
play
bro.
play some good football for the rest of the season.
I mean, we're seeing the improvement though, and again.
Definitely.
A head offensive-minded head coach helping a young quarterback. Huh. Imagine what happens.
And he has nothing but good things to say about Trevor Lawrence.
All the time.
And it doesn't matter whether they win or lose. He's always, we improved. Mm-hmm. And they have every week they've improved.
Yeah.
And if they lose, they're not losing by a lot.
Right.
Which is nice.
Yeah, they're not.
It makes it good to go watch a game and be like, there's a chance.
Right?
So
I just wish we had the money to watch them play the Cowboys, because they'll probably beat the Cowboys, and I'm going to laugh hysterically if they do.
That would be awesome.
I'm going to laugh hysterically. I will be a pain in every Cowboys fan's ass that day. I will be all over social media as myself and as Big Man. And I'll be like, Cowboys, you fucking suck! I'll be messaging my aunt. I'll be messaging Carl. I'll be messaging everybody. Y'all lost to the Jaguars. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
America's team
lost to the Jaguars? Come on, man. Oh, I'm going to be an asshole. Sorry. Anyways, moving on. Where were we? The Chiefs easily handled my injury-depleted team, 26-10. That's the Rams, by the way, if you don't know. I'm sure you should, but know by now. The Bengals beat the Titans, 20-16. They kept Derrick Henry in check for most of the game. That's probably what helped.
Yeah.
Just like the playoff win last year. Oh! Don't let Derrick Henry run wild on you. Guess what you can do? You can actually beat the Titans. Imagine that. The Jets went to their backup quarterback, Mike White, this week, and the offense went on to score 31 points in a 31-10 win over the Bears. Now, granted, the Bears were without Justin Fields, but still. You put up 31 points a week after you only had 2 total yards in the second half.
It's the Bears, bro.
I'm just saying, that's nice improvement after the previous week where you should have really beat the Patriots.
It definitely is a nice improvement, and the memes going around.
The best one was the Cobra Kai one I showed you.
That was hilarious.
Why does it look like these two are getting ready to do battle for rivalry dojos from Cobra Kai?
It was awesome, dude.
And it's true. They do look like that, too. They look like...
Yeah. I'm Miyagi-Do and Cobra Kai.
That's just fantastic shit. I loved it. All right. The Commanders beat the Falcons 19-13. And unfortunately, if you haven't heard the news, it was reported earlier Wednesday that Kyle Pitts will be out for the rest of the year with a knee injury.
That's very sad news. Kyle Pitts is one of these rising stars, and we wish him the best.
And speedy recovery.
Speedy recovery.
Let's see here. The Panthers beat the Broncos 23-10. What is happening with Russell frickin' Wilson, bro? You can't beat the Panthers now?
I don't get it, dude. Like I thought that him coming to the Broncos was going to be like his second coming. he should have retired.
Or should have just stayed in Seattle.
Or that.
Because this is a nightmare. Oh, man. If he would just done what Geno's doing in Seattle, Seattle would probably be undefeated right now. We'd be talking about Seattle as a Super Bowl contender right now. The way they're... I'm just like, jeez. Of course, then again, they wouldn't have had the draft picks to get the players they got in the draft either. But I'm just saying. It just... I mean, Seattle did lose, so... But I'm just saying. It's been looking
They're good. Doing better than the Broncos.
Yeah, they're doing a lot better than the Broncos. All right. The Chargers went for two and got it in a win over the Cardinals, 25-24. The Raiders seemed to be getting their offense going of late as they won 40-34 in overtime over the Seahawks. Freaking Josh Jacobs with a walk-off 68-yard touchdown run? Are you kidding me? 68?
We don't get to see that very often. Nice, dude. That's some Madden status right there. Mad respect, man. Props.
That was unbelievable. What a walk-off.
Yeah, man.
The Niners shut out the Saints 13-0. On Sunday Night Football, the Eagles beat the Packers 40-33. Jordan Love came in and looked pretty decent in replacement of Rodgers, who was injured that game. I'm not saying anything controversial yet, but he looked decent.
We'll see what happens.
He hit a nice little crossing route with their Christian Watson speed guy from North Dakota State, and he just kept on running right on past the Eagles defenders for a touchdown. I was like, okay, all right, I see you too.
Right.
That's another connection that could be developing nicely down the line. You know, I'm just saying, because you never know with Rodgers. I mean, he might retire. He might have already retired. We just don't know it yet. And on Monday Night Football, the Steelers beat the Colts 24-17. Cooper! What from the weekend of football of pros this time stood out to you?
So many good games this weekend, especially with the holidays, dude. It's... For me, I like the Steelers, dude. I actually sat down and actually watched this game, and it was actually pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
So, it was kind of, it wasn't the best of games. They could have done better on certain drives or whatever, but, you know, it was good. And, Maddie Wheels or Maddie Ice, kind of kept him contained just a little bit. Except for that Booker kid, I don't think there was any containment.
Dude, that dude's 6'7". How are you going to contain him?
Right?
That guy is huge.
He's huge.
That's a huge dude. I'm not saying the other one.
I was thinking it.
Reminds me of when your daughter said, "That's a huge bag," in Walmart. And I went, thank God she said bag. Because I thought she was about to say something else. I was like, oh my God, This child is not about to say that. She says, back away. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, that was a big bag, Haley.
She's a good kid.
Yeah.
Good kid.
Oh, man, that threw me for a loop. If the Raiders can continue looking like this offensively, they will make some noise themselves. But they got to fix their defense, dude. Their defense is... Because at least with the Jaguars' defense shows up at times.
Yeah.
We need them to show up a little bit more consistently, but it shows up at times when you need them to. And that's where, they kept Lamar Jackson pretty well in check for that game.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you gave up 27 points, but at the same time, it's not like a normal Lamar Jackson game where he ran for almost 200 yards. Through for about 250.
He didn't run all over the place. So.
Yeah. Of course, you know, I mean, Cooper was calling for Josh Allen to have another Highlander game.
I wanted him to because I hate freaking...
We know, you hate the running quarterback, Lamar Jackson.
Yes, he's retarded.
Anyway, so we're going to move on from the scores and the games to talk about some other things. First off, should the Rams consider shutting down key players for the rest of the year? Stafford missed this game against the Chiefs with another stint on the concussion protocol, plus a neck strain, and it sounds like he hasn't practiced yet all week and possibly won't be there again this weekend. Also, during the game, Aaron Donald injured his ankle, and of course, Kupp's been out since his procedure. The Rams absolutely have no chance of making the playoff, and it would be probably their best interest for the star players and their health to kind of pull the plug on this season. Cooper, what are your thoughts?
Definitely, dude. They are plagued with injuries.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough depth there.
There's not.
It just hit the nuke button on it.
We're really at the point now where we need to see between Wolford and Perkins who you can trust to be your backup going forward, or if you need another backup in case something, you know, knock on wood, that nothing ever happens again to Stafford. But if something does, like Cooper Rush helping out the Cowboys, if you need someone who can step in for a few games and keep your team afloat.
I mean, true. I mean, think about it. Stafford's getting older, dude. He's been a part of the league for how many years now?
I think he's 12 or 11, something like that.
Yeah, he's seasoned.
And he's been hit a lot. And he didn't have an offensive line for a long time in Detroit. And now our offensive line is in shambles and it's looking like Detroit again. And we don't have Megatron walking in there for him to just quickly throw it up to him. I love Cooper.
Yeah.
But Cooper's no Megatron.
So
and obviously, and then of course, Allen Robinson's out for the rest of the year with a foot injury. So, I mean, he's already done too. So it's just like, let's go ahead and call it over. It's done. We're not making the playoff. You know, let's make some moves this offseason. Probably going to have to trade Ramsey. I would consider trading Allen, too, if you can get anything for Allen. Because, and I hate to say it because I don't want to. And might have to go ahead and trade Bobby Wagner. We need draft picks.
Yeah.
We need picks.
Honestly, he's only played, one season with you guys?
So he just played this season. He's got a 3-year contract.
It's not really going to hurt you too much.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's probably best to kind of...
As long as they don't get rid of Kupp.
Right?
Don't get rid of Kupp.
Yeah, no. Not Donald or Kupp. You don't need to do that.
It's kind of like the Steelers. I still wonder why they got rid of Claypool. Or Juju.
Well, they weren't going to pay what Juju wanted, and they let Claypool go again because they want Pickens, and we're going to talk about that here in a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's get started. But at least pull the plug on this season.
Yeah.
Don't risk Stafford anymore. It's not worth it. Your offensive line is still in shambles. It ain't worth it. See what you got in Perkins and Wolford for the rest of the year to see if either one of them are trustworthy to continue on being our backup, or if you need to consider finding someone in the offseason, either through the draft or free agency. Let's talk about the Jets. The Jets decided to bench Zach Wilson this past week in hopes to allow him to get reset and eventually back into the field later this year. However, the offense seemed to get a spark with the QB change as they put up 31 points on the Bears' defense. Despite this, Robert Saleh has stated that there will be no change in their QB plans. Of course, plans can change, though, if Mike White keeps winning. Cooper?
I think that they really need to reconsider this.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that your backup is better than your starter?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mike White?
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. Mike White.
It sounds like it's Mike White's time. I mean, because here's the thing. He didn't even go from starter to backup to the backup. He went starter to inactive, so he wasn't even possible if Mike White got hurt and Flacco then goes in, and then if Flacco got hurt, they wouldn't then need an emergency quarterback. He went from starter to inactive. That's already a negative in my eyes, for one. Two, on top of that, then, to me, you can't really speak this is one thing I actually always agree with Joy Taylor, and she's been kind of hard to agree with a lot of stuff lately. But you should never talk in absolutes when it comes to certain things, especially as a coach. That you're going to sit there and tell me that you're going to go back to Zach Wilson. Because what if you're... Because you're, even though the Bills won and you... Well, you're still in division contention. What if Mike White can ride you into the playoffs as division champs? You still got another game with Buffalo. You got games with Miami still.
And it's the Jets, dude.
Yeah.
It's the Jets. Give them something. Let them keep going. If it's working, let it go.
Why would you risk going back and setting your team back when you are a playoff contender and still in the contention for the division? This is, to me, I agree with her. Don't ever talk in absolutes as a coach, because now you sound stupid if you decide, oh, no, Mike White keeps winning. Now we're going to just go ahead and stick with Mike White.
And the problem is the fact that, you know, Wilson's not consistent.
No, he's not. He's inconsistent. He misses the easy throws. I've seen him throw easy outs. Like, I suck at throwing now, I'm sure, but I could still probably hit a 5-yard out and not airmail it over my receiver.
Yeah.
It's a 5-yard out, dude. You got to hit that. You can't freaking throw it over your receiver's head.
Right.
It's ridiculous. I mean, come on. I know. I used to throw the ball around when I was younger. I could hit just about any pass. I just couldn't throw deep. That was my problem. I couldn't throw deep. But I could hit somebody in stride and make it look like I threw deep. You know, I had a friend who was fast enough, and I was like, you know what? If I can hit you early enough, if you get past your freaking defender, oh, there you go. And I can get it to you. And he just would run. And I'm like, there you go. That's why I was actually a fat quarterback. I was just a fat quarterback, man, when I was younger. My body failed me, too. But that's besides the point. But I could hit almost any pass that was within 20 yards, easily. I hardly airmailed anything. If I airmailed you, you weren't fast enough for me. It's basically how I felt about it. If I overthrow you, you weren't where you needed to be. And if you're running a 5-yard out, you overthrew that person if they're running a 5-yard out. I don't care what you say. You can say they didn't run the right route. No, dude. You just overthrew a 5-yard out, and that's on you. But, yeah, so, but like I said, that's just bad. Don't, if he keeps winning, you can't go back. It's Mike White's team from here on out if he keeps winning.
Not only that, but the Jets haven't been relevant in how long?
They really haven't even been relevant since Rex Ryan was their coach and Mark Sanchez before the butt fumble.
So, there you go.
Exactly. All right. Speaking of holding out players, which that was a terrible segue, I realized after I wrote it, because I should have done this one before the Jets story. The Packers may be in the same boat as the Rams when it comes to their quarterback situation. Aaron Rodgers has a rib injury and could miss some time. The Packers are about virtually eliminated from the playoff contention, and just may want to use the rest of the season to evaluate Jordan Love. Love had some nice moments on Sunday Night Football and was an onside kick recovery from having an opportunity to tie that game up. Cooper, it is actually been officially announced that Rodgers will play this weekend, but even though we have hindsight now on that, before we knew that officially, would you have sat Rodgers?
I mean, Rodgers just doesn't seem like he cares. At least when Love's out there, he acts like he cares.
True.
So, I would rather go with a quarterback that would give a damn if you win or lose.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I think Rodgers is more concerned about whatever new age stuff he's into.
Hiawatha, so that's technically weed tea?
Yeah.
Hiawatha or whatever it's pronounced. So, something that's special tea that gets you high.
Yeah, just not into all that craziness. Right. I've got enough problems in my own life. I don't need to be, no. So I don't understand people that have this need to want to be high all the time and be out there and try new different things and... So it's
that's great when you're not an NFL quarterback.
That too, yeah.
When you're not an NFL quarterback. If you're an NFL quarterback, there should be nothing that you that should come out about you doing something like that.
Yeah, that's detrimental to the organization, to be honest.
Now, if you were telling me you were taking, like, THC stuff because it helps with pain.
Yeah.
And you're advocating that's why I'm taking it, therefore I shouldn't be hit with a drug, you know, a drug suspension because I'm taking something for pain relief because I don't like what Tylenol and ibuprofen, all the acetaminophen mean.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, pills, double painkillers, and you don't want to do Vicodin, because unfortunately, even though I love Vicodin, I'm not in love with Vicodin, like, saying like that, but I really like Vicodin, but some people won't take it because they're afraid they can be addicted to it.
I mean, it's like me having cerebral palsy, dude. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of the gummies they have now, not with the ones, I don't do anything with THC in it, because I don't like that high feeling anymore. Right. It's like, no, when you're young and dumb and whatever, it's fun.
But the hemp oil that keeps you out of pain.
Yeah, but that stuff's good. It helps, and, you know, but this need for people to always want to be out of their mind or woke, as they like to tell everybody. It's right. Like, you're full of shit, dude.
Exactly.
So that's just me.
Yeah, but if I'm the Packers, I would have told Rodgers, I don't care.
Go be woke somewhere else.
Go be woke somewhere else. Or at least you're going to ride the bench for a few weeks until we know your hip rib is good.
Yeah,
that's 100% good. Just because you got somewhat clear bill of health?
You can't really throw a ball with the ribs hurting. I mean, you can, but it's going to hurt.
It sucks. It's going to hurt. You're going to have a hard time breathing. And when you get hit again, you're going to be hating life. Yeah, it's really going to hurt and be hating life. So I'd rather just bench him for a few weeks in that aspect. Go, look, for the betterment of your own health, we're going to sit you for a few weeks until we know for a fact that you don't have a rib issue anymore.
Yeah.
And then, depending, that way, because then, in your own mind, you can be like, well, if Jordan Love is actually showing out and showing up and we're winning some games, or at least keeping us in games still and not looking like complete garbage, we just won't go back to you, Aaron.
Yeah.
We just won't tell you that. But anyways, all right, so the final story, or final thing for the night. Is it too soon for the Steelers to be thinking about Pickett to Pickens for the foreseeable future? On Monday Night Football, there were great chemistry moments between the two rookies as they led the Steelers to the win against the Colts. That, of course, was highlighted by a great pass and catch that led to a go-ahead touchdown. That sidelines pass and catch. That was glorious.
That was crazy, dude. It was so cool.
Yep. And that, of course, led to the go-ahead touchdown, as well as the amazing two-point conversion play where we were wondering where the hell Pickett was throwing the ball.
Yeah. I think I said, did he just throw it there? He got it there. What?
We're both looking at this going, is he going to turn upfield at any time now to go try to run that in? And then all of a sudden he just wings it. We're like, where is he throwing that?
Yeah.
And sure enough, Pickett just is on his knees like, I'm right here. Touchdown or 2-point conversion goal. I'm like,
yeah, I don't think it's too soon, dude. I think that these two should be a thing.
Yeah.
And what's cool is they're both rookies.
Yeah.
And if anything, they should do what Stafford and Kupp did and hang out together all the time.
Oh yeah, off season.
The more chemistry you have, the better off it'll be.
Oh, definitely. The only thing is I sometimes I feel like the Steelers aren't 100% sure yet on Pickett. They love Pickens. Everybody loves Pickens. I told you, that's the steal of the draft. Yeah. You guys stole him at the second round pick that you got him for. I'm like,
oh. They're just not sold on him because of where he landed in the draft. And for the sole fact that there was no real quarterbacks in the draft.
For Pickett, yeah.
So, but this was the easy pick for them. They know him. They know his style. Obviously, he went to Pitt and, Pitt University. So, yeah. It just, it made sense.
The only thing I would like to see, and I've seen it on TikTok from Steelers fans, they all want Matt Canada fired as offensive coordinator and get a new offensive coordinator in there who can help develop Pickett.
Because that makes sense.
Pickett is accurate, and he's mobile. Those are good things to have. He's not a run-first quarterback, but if he needs to, he will take off.
Yeah.
And we saw it in this game. A few times he should have took off a little bit sooner because he got sacked.
Right.
But at the same time, but he kept that mindset of a pocket quarterback. I can trust my legs, but I would still want to make the throw downfield. As he gets more experience, he's going to realize, you know what, my legs might save me in this moment. I don't want to die and run. So we're going to get to that point at some point with Pickett. But, man, Pickens, holy crap. I'm just sitting there going, I keep telling everybody.
That was like a Madden play, dude. That throw on the sidelines was like...
The only thing that's better than that was the Justin Jefferson catch against Buffalo. That's the only thing. Otherwise, we'd be talking about Pickens' catch for the rest of the year as the greatest catch this season. I'm just sorry, but Justin Jefferson on fourth down going up and mossing that gap. And the guy's got two hands, and he just basically pulls it away from him with his one hand.
That's just crazy.
Kiss my ass. Justin Jefferson's just like, nope, that's mine. I'm Justin Jefferson, dude. That kid's ballsy. That kid's ballsy. I love it. I love it. Every bit of it. Fucking had to be a Viking, though. We didn't have a first-round pick, so of course he was not going to be a Ram, but I'm just saying. But, I mean, again, you guys just freaking find wide receivers. I don't know how you guys keep finding wide receivers. I don't know who your scouts are that look at receivers, but they all need a bonus. Of course, I mean, like I said, Pickens was falling to you, and I like Pickens. I was like, Pickens is falling? How's he falling? Oh, because he missed most of the year with a foot injury? I'm like, Jamison Williams was injured, and they don't even know if he'll play. He's going to play this year. But at the time, no one knew if he was even going to play this year. And Detroit went and got him. And I think Pickens is on Jamison's level. The only difference is Jamison Williams is actually a little bit faster than Pickens. But what do you do? Once you get the pads on, you almost are equal in speed, usually.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, Jamison Williams is really nice.
Unless you're Cooper Kupp.
Like I said, though, pads actually help him be faster technically because everybody else's speed is down because of the pads.
Right.
That's just my favorite white boy. I can't help that. That's my favorite white boy. In football, you're still my favorite white boy, bro.
Yep.
You're still my number one white boy.
Just crazy, man. Crazy. It was a fun-filled week of. The football?
Sure, fun.
Turkey?
If I ignored my teams, man. It was fun.
Turkey? Freaking stuffing? Freaking, oh, man.
It was good.
So much food.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy.
And all I had was a sub. It was a good sub.
Hey, we brought you home some turkey. You got a turkey sandwich. How was the turkey sandwich? Pretty good.
It was pretty good. I would have liked it grilled.
Right?
It would have been really good then. I don't know.
We might have to hook it up this Christmas and do.
You're all gonna get ham this Christmas. What are you talking about?
Well, I don't know, man. I kind of enjoyed the turkey more than I did the ham.
Oh, it's because it wasn't your dad's ham. That's why. Be honest.
To be honest, my dad's ham's kind of greasy nowadays, and I don't mind it. It's okay, but
taste wise,
yeah.
Yeah, taste-wise, you love that ham. Taste-wise. Anyways, we went way over.
But this was fun.
It was.
It was good.
Since somebody had to make me do my conspiracy.
Hey, man, it was worth it. Everybody needed to hear it. We got people in Oregon listening. They needed to hear this.
Right. Watch them be Beaver fans.
there goes our Oregon views.
All of our Oregon listeners just tanked because they're all Beaver fans in Boardman, Oregon. Thank you, Boardman, Oregon. You got us well over 100 views or downloads this year. Or not year, but month. We're almost to 1,000 for the year. We might hit 1,000 before the end of the year.
That'd be awesome.
That will be awesome, especially since we missed quite a bit of this year.
Yes, we did. But you know what? We're having fun. We're back, and we're going to keep this coming, man.
Yes, sir.
I like the new setup.
Yeah.
I think eventually we want to make StreamYard more of our
thing.
It's fun.
Yeah, streaming is pretty cool. Once we can get it down to where we can afford it for the not so, you know, cheap spots.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be good to go. We'll make it look prettier.
Definitely.
But I'm definitely looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to a lot of things that come up in the next year. Like I said last night, though, we're not 100% sure on sports talk yet this week. Still waiting for something. All I got is rumors about where people might go. I need legitimate people going somewhere soon.
Yep.
So come on, freaking sports talk. Baseball hot stove. I need some help there. Anyways, that will do it for us here at Sports Talk. And as always,
keep on talking sports.
Hey everyone, this is Big Man.
This is Cooper.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode, but be sure to check us out on our social medias.
On Facebook at Cooper Big Man.
Our Facebook page, Sports Talk with Cooper and Big Man.
On Twitter at Cooper_BigManST.
On Instagram, also at Cooper_BigManST.
At TikTok at sportstalk.cooper.bigman.
Or you can email us at sportstalkwithcooperinbigman. That's sportstalk, W-I-T, Cooper, the letter N, big man, and that's at gmail.com. Thank you for tuning in, and we love you guys for checking us out. Be sure to catch us on our next episode.